The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Hello. Hi. Good evening. Who's here at Happy Hour for the first time? Yay! Welcome. Who's here at IMC for the first time? Fantastic. Welcome. Yay. Delighted for Happy Hour to be your welcoming introduction to IMC. So, whatever you need to know will be shared with you during this practice session. No previous experience necessary. So, for tonight's guided meditation, I wanted to invite us to practice self-compassion. We can never have enough self-compassion. And in fact, care, love, concern for ourselves is the foundation, serves as the foundation to care for other people, to be loving, compassionate, caring for other people. And it is not selfish, it is not self-absorbed to actually care for ourselves, quite the opposite. If we don't fill our own cup first, if we fill our own cup first with our own care, with our own love, with our own affection and concern for ourselves, if our cup is already filled, there is no neediness, there is no sense of neediness from others to fill our cup. So we're not going around the world basically without words saying, love me, love me, love me, love me, take care of me, take care of me, which subconsciously sometimes we do because our hearts are already, our heart is already filled by ourselves. Similarly, if we have filled our own cup with our own care, affection, then there is a lot more. Our cup overfloweth. There is more to give to others. There's more to take care of, to provide for, to give to others in way of our care and love and compassion. We're more resourced, we're more full. We're not running ragged. Because if we are running ragged, because we haven't taken care of ourselves, there's nothing in the cup to give to others. So in the Buddhist practice, the practice of compassion is practiced in concentric circle, starting with yourself and then moving to others. So metta, loving kindness, starting with ourselves. So with that in mind, with the practice of self-compassion, taking care of ourselves, the first thing to keep in mind is mindfulness or awareness is the pre-step. It's the precursor. It's the necessary step before self-compassion. Okay, what does that mean? What does she mean by that? It means that first we need to become aware, be aware that we're actually hurting, that there is something, something that needs attending to. If we are going 100 miles a minute about our daily life, about our tasks, and say we're catching a cold, say we're getting sick and we're feeling tired, we have a sore throat, if we're not aware enough, if there's not awareness to say, oh, I'm catching a cold, I'm sick, this body is not feeling well right now, how can I take care of it? How can I be kind to myself? Do I need to slow down? So awareness needs to come first. If the awareness of suffering, of pain, of challenge isn't there, if we're not aware of it, we could potentially completely railroad over it. So Same scenario. We're tired, but we're not aware. There's not enough mindfulness, awareness that, oh, this is what's happening. Suffering is happening. I'm having a hard time right now. And instead, the perception is, oh, you're being lazy. You have all this work to do. You're acting tired. Come on, get it together. Right? Familiar dialogue to anyone? Monologue to anyone? So if that awareness isn't there, actually what is happening? Or maybe say you're sad. Oh, come on, stop being sad. What's wrong with you? You're being crybaby. Whoa. So instead, if there is awareness, oh, sweetie, you're really hurting right now. Oh, you had a sad dream last night. Oh, you're still processing that. It's okay. It's okay. I'll be gentle with you. It's okay, right? You see the difference? With awareness, without awareness. If there is awareness that, oh, this is suffering, this is pain, this is dukkha, you're having a hard time, sweetie. This is hard for you. This would be hard for anybody right now. Then compassion, care naturally arises. But if there is no awareness, if there is no recognition of what is happening, then we can actually potentially add more insult to the injury. Okay. So with that precursor, what I will be leading us through the main part of tonight's practice, the guided meditation, is what we'll do is first we will, I'll invite you to just arrive, settle in the body with mindfulness of the body, mindfulness of the breath, tilling the soil, arriving and really settling. And after we arrive, we calm the mind a little bit, make it a little more malleable to actually working with it. Then we'll turn our attention to both awareness of suffering, if there is something challenging right now going on for you, either in this moment or right now in your life in general. And then how can it be held with care, with compassion, as if we are our own beloved other. We often care for other beloveds that are in our lives. We care for them. What if you are your own beloved other? So that is what we will be playing with tonight. Okay? So I'd like to invite you to get comfortable. If you need to get up to get more cushions right now for your feet, for your legs, if you need to move from the chair to a cushion, from cushion to a chair, whatever you need, this is the time to do it. Taking care of your body. See what your body needs. Get up, get props, and get comfortable. Ah, and as you land, letting your back be straight, be supported. If you're sitting in a chair, letting your feet be flat on the floor, on the ground, not crossed. Letting your arms not be crossed. And imagining that there is a magnet on top of your head. Ever so gently pulling up the crown of your head. Your back straightening up, vertebrae by vertebrae. Ah, and the rest of your body, your muscles, your shoulders can just relax and drop. This magnet, as if it's pulling you up, straightening you up without any effort, and inviting the rest of you to relax. Noticing which muscles need to be softened, need to be relaxed. Relaxing your face, your forehead, your jaw, your ears. letting your eyes rest in their socket. Relaxing your shoulders, your arms, your hands softening, letting them all drop, letting gravity pull down, letting your chest soften, your back soften, your abdomen relax and soften, your sit bones, your bottom on the cushion, your groin area, your upper legs and lower legs and feet. The entire body relaxed, soft. And with the next exhale, relaxing, softening some more. Challenging yourself, can I let go some more with the next exhale, relax some more? Surprising yourself, noticing that you can indeed land more deeply. Land more deeply into this body. Nowhere to go and nothing to do right now in this moment, but to just sit and be breathed, letting the breath breathe you. Each in-breath, out breath. Calming, soothing, like a lullaby. Taking refuge in this moment. And turning away from thoughts and memories. Nothing per se bad about them or wrong about them, but in this moment, just taking refuge in the simplicity of this moment. And simply saying, not now, thank you. Come back later. In breath and out breath. That's all. just this in-breath, just this out-breath. Simple, delicious, here. Calming. Calming, soothing, settling the mind. Relaxing the body. Letting the body be breathed. And simply being aware of the sensations of the breath. And I'd like to invite you to bring to mind something in your life, perhaps something that happened today that's been challenging. It may not be the most challenging thing, second or third, or whatever feels right for you right now to reflect on. And if it's not today, maybe something that these days has been arising for you, coming and going, source of challenge in your body, maybe in your mind, in your heart, emotions. Now that you have it, actually, I'm going to invite you not to get too bogged down in the story and reciting the story, thinking the story. It's mostly bringing up the felt sense of it in your body. This is not a rumination practice. And often, when you're practicing in this way, what is challenging will be present for you already you don't have to go and search for it. So this invitation right now to bring it up might be actually a little artificial. Acknowledging the artificiality. I invite you to let go of the story of what's been challenging, of this challenge. Letting go of the story and just feeling in your body, feeling in your heart, being aware, as we talked about, of the challenging nature. Of what has been arising for you. And feeling it in your body again, not getting into the story heady. Feeling how this has been challenging. This has been difficult, really acknowledging. This has been hard. This has been hard, dear. This has been difficult, sweetie. However you want to address yourself with kindness. As if you're your own beloved other. This is, sweetie, this is difficult. Anyone else in this situation that you've been, that you are, would feel challenged, would feel burdened perhaps, would feel the same emotions. Perhaps sadness, frustration, or whatever might be arising, just acknowledging. In fact, I'd like to invite you to put the palm of your hand in the middle of your chest, your heart center. Not your heart, which is on the left-hand side for most people, but your heart center, the proverbial heart center. It's a way to connect with yourself, to connect with your own challenge. Acknowledging is a way of acknowledging this difficulty. This is the first step. It's the acknowledgement. It's the awareness of it. The brushing aside. Or pushing away. Holding it with care and kindness. And just as you would care for someone else, someone who's beloved to you, you would want to comfort them, support them, tell them you care about them, hold their sorrow, their pain, their suffering with them, lighten it up. Or as their lyrics go to the song, like a bridge over troubled waters, laying yourself down for them, doing that for yourself, for your own troubled waters. Treating yourself as you are your dearest, beloved other. Oh dear, when I care about you, this is challenging. Let me comfort you. I care about you. I wish you ease. I wish you well. This is hard for you. This is challenging for you. May you be free from this. May you have ease. May you have ease in the midst of it. May you have happiness and well-being in the midst of this. May your burden feel lighter. Sharing your own goodwill, your own care, your own affection for yourself. It could be wordless with just holding yourself, holding your own heart with care and love and affection, with self-compassion, wordless, just felt sense of care. Or you might be saying, reciting, whatever sentences that work for you, I'll offer a few. And you can say you as you're addressing yourself as a beloved other, or you can say I. May I. Try either one out and see what works best for you right now. May I have ease in the midst of this challenge. May I recognize that this is hard for me right now. May I treat myself kindly and gently. May I hold myself with care, with affection, with ease, with tenderness, recognizing this challenge, this difficulty, this pain. May I have as much ease and well-being as possible. In the midst of this challenge, acknowledging this challenge, may I recognize my own inner goodness and support my own inner goodness and my own well-being, recognizing that this is difficult, this is a hard time. I care for myself, especially in the midst of this challenge, this difficulty. This is not easy. This would not be easy for anybody in my situation. May I love and care and respect myself just as I am, recognizing I'm going through a challenging time. May I be kind and gentle with myself. I hold myself with kindness and tenderness, as if I am my own beloved. I am my own beloved other that I care for. I care for me dearly. I recognize I am doing my best And if I could have done better, I would. It is the best that's possible given the circumstances. And I will hold myself gently and kindly. And if at any point challenges arise, self-judgment thoughts arise, as you're doing this practice, it's okay. Holding those self-judgmental thoughts with kindness. And because they are further daggers causing suffering and pain and injury. Maybe the thoughts arise you don't deserve gentleness and tenderness. Turning to the thoughts, not believing them, saying, well, thank you very much for your opinion. Letting the thoughts go. Don't have to believe every thought you have. And with gentleness and tenderness returning to caring for your own pain and hurt. It's okay. Now, it's okay. And if at any point it gets too complicated, you can always go back to just being with your breath. Just breathing, just being breathed in this moment. Whatever is supportive for you. We'll explore together in silence for a few minutes. Pouring as much love into yourself as you can in this moment. Can you love yourself completely, brokenness, tenderness and all, in this moment? imperfections and all, everything, no part left out. The complete imperfect package. Can you love this imperfect package that is you, just as it is right now? In all its tenderness and in imperfections, its beautiful imperfections. All its goodness. All its tenderness. All its beauty and grace and all of its vulnerability and sadness. And all of its power and greatness. And all of its weaknesses. No part left out. May I completely love and accept myself just as I am. Or perhaps, oh dear one, I love and accept you just as you are, completely. Maybe just say it, if possible, a couple of times. Sometimes trying it on is a way to make it be true. For the last moments of this practice period, whatever arose or did not arise in this practice period, holding it with kindness, with tenderness, whatever it was, not judging, it had to be exactly the way it was. Next, we turn to practicing in community. We often, in our hearts, we want refuge in community. And during the practice in happy hours, one time during the offerings at IMC, that we actually do that. create a sense of community by doing a little practice with others. It's very simple. Really, the process is more important than the content. In a moment, we'll get together in small groups of three with others. And for those of you who are new, especially those of you who've done this, listen to a beginner's mind and see if there's something about the instructions you can try on a little differently tonight. In groups of three, each person will have a minute or two of monologue where other people will not be interrupting and they'll just be sharing. And the process, as I said, is more important. What's important about the process is when you're listening, you'll be listening twice, speaking once. The listening, try to stay embodied when you're listening. Try to listen with your whole body. So start practicing now as you're sitting. What does it feel like to listen with your whole body to me? What does that even mean? It can be like a koan. What does it feel like to listen with your whole body? Not just with your ears. Be so present. You're listening with your whole body. Giving your full attention. Also listening with kindness when you're listening to others. They can say no wrong. Holding a kind space, not thinking about what you're going to say, distracted. No, whatever, you're going to open your mouth, you're going to say something. It doesn't matter when your turn comes. Just giving the other person your complete attention. Complete attention, just complete presence for a minute or two. What is that like? Not thinking, not planning, just listening, just being present. Taking a vacation from your own thoughts and your own plans. Just present, fully present for another being. And the instructions for when you're speaking is try to stay embodied, feeling your body as you're speaking, even though it's more difficult, I'll tell you already. And then speaking from your heart, not from your head, speaking from your heart, sharing as much or as little as is comfortable for you, and being kind to yourself as you're speaking, and knowing that you are speaking for your own sake. You're not speaking to educate, to impress others. You're only speaking for your own sake. The other two people are holding you witness. They're human mirrors, consciousness, mirrors of consciousness, or just reflecting you back. This can be powerful practice to just share without being interrupted, saying yes, me too, just sharing and being held witness. Okay? So, as you're listening, what do you do? Shout it out. Listen with your whole body. All right. What else? Second thing? Listen with kindness. Thank you. And as you're speaking, speak how? From your heart. Speak from your heart. Yeah. What else? For your own sake. Exactly. Anything else you might remember?
As much or as little
you want to share. And be kind to yourself. That too. Be kind with yourself as you're sharing. Okay? And try to stay embodied, even though it's a little harder. So the process is really what's important. It's practicing kindness in community, holding each other with kindness, holding ourselves with kindness. That's really what's important. The prompt, what you'll be talking about, the content, is less important, but I'll tell you anyway. The prompt is, what came up? What are some reflections that came up for you during this guided meditation? There's no right or wrong. You can say, I fell asleep the whole time, my mind was distracted, I didn't like it, or I loved it, or whatever. Or maybe an insight came up that you want to share. Anything is fine, okay? It's really the process that is the juicy bit here. Any questions? So if you came here with someone tonight, I suggest you get into groups with someone else, people you don't know. And if you know people already in the community, get to hang out, meet and other people. And it's best if you're on the floor, all three of you, or in chairs, and move around so that you're really sitting next to each other. It's a little community. Go. Find another couple of people, please. Raise your hand if you need partners. So we have a few minutes for reflections, comments, questions about either the first practice, the guided meditation and self-compassion, or the second practice, the community, practicing kindness in community. So please don't be shy. Reflections are welcome. Questions, comments, complaints, everything is welcome. Yes. Ta-ta.
What a rich environment of commonness, and how it's really kind of a gift to be able to be compassionate toward yourself and toward others.
Thank you. Beautifully said. Anything you want to add to it, or just you don't have to, just an invitation.
I don't know why it surprises me, but it surprises me every time I really get that we're all one.
It is a true and profound insight, and it's one that we often, we're too busy or whatever it is, right, to see it, to be with it. And when we grok it, as you have just now, and you're sitting with it, as I can see, you're sitting with it, it's like, wow, I know this. And how rich it feels to see that we are one, and opens up your heart to compassion to others and to yourself, because you're not any different from anybody else. The perspective of common humanity. Words fail. Words feel so light, but that's exactly at what you're sitting with right now, what you're experiencing and seeing right now. Thank you. Behind you.
It struck me just how much time I spend, and probably we all spend, in unconscious kind of self-flagellation, having about how we handle things, how we go through things, and it sometimes just feels like such a relief to just put down a stick.
Yeah. Well said. Were you going to say something? Oh, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. After you.
So,
go ahead. No.
It seems like we shouldn't need to practice. But looks like we do. Compassion, and speaking from the heart, and all of these things should be so natural.
Yeah.
And yet, well, there's words, way of saying things.
Yeah.
It's just, it takes practice. That's the
exactly. The
whole thing.
Exactly.
It takes practice.
Yeah.
Should it take practice?
Yeah. You know, as you're talking about it, the metaphor that comes up for me is, you know, it is natural. It is a natural state of heart and mind when you are in this situation. And yet we forget. We forget our quote-unquote true nature. We forget what we know. So that's what it's practicing remembering. Practicing remembering, not forgetting. Mm-hmm. Keeping it fresh. Thank you. You're there, please.
Hi. I think I'm noticing today what really stops me from getting deep into the self-compassion is I feel like I'm not going to get things done. I'm not going to solve my problems. Like, I start to think that somehow that is what's motivating me to get things done, mm-hmm. by being hard on myself. And so it's kind of split. And I come back and forth, and I'm like, oh, well, I still have to fix that.
Right.
And it's part of the block I have, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, I appreciate you naming it and actually saying it. Mm. And what you're saying is very common perspective. In fact, when I teach compassion daylongs and compassion compassion cultivation course, a whole session is dedicated to what blocks compassion and self-compassion. And this is very common. It's going to make me too soft. Take me too soft for myself. I'll never get anything done. I'll be a couch potato. I'll be a disaster if I'm soft myself. And I'll be, you know, towards others, and I'll just become this wet noodle and they can walk all over me, and I've heard it all. And actually the truth is, and there's some few research studies on this also about how actually when people they take the perspective of kindness and self-compassion, there is more capacity to their capacity for actually self keeping themselves accountable actually increases. It works the other way around. I'll try to explain it very quickly. And the way it actually works is sometimes when, especially in the case where, I think this work was done, when somebody has done something that they really regret and they've wronged someone. So if they're primed to have a self-compassionate perspective, they really take responsibility. Like, yeah, I really screwed up and I like to make amends, and it doesn't mean I'm a bad person. I still accept myself. You know, there's this compassionate perspective and people take responsibility, actually. Whereas if they're primed not for compassion, I forget what the other priming was, they kind of, there's so much shame because there's so much rigidity, there's not enough acceptance and kindness, that in order to protect the shame, they actually point the finger outward. And they don't take responsibility. You see how it works the other way around? They actually don't, they're not responsible. They don't take responsibility. And so actually self-compassion, it works the other way around. You recognize that you're only human, you're doing your best, yes, you fail, and then you become actually even more resilient. It's part of resilient training, self-compassion training. So I hope that lands. Does that land? Yeah. And there are many other ways also to think about it and actually really support you. But really, don't take my word for it. See for yourself. Really see for yourself how it can actually get you to do more. Because self-compassion is different from self-aggrandizing or getting yourself off the hook. It's none of those. It's really none of those. So, anyway, we're over time. So, thank you all for being here, coming here tonight, practicing together in community. May you all be safe, happy, well, and self-compassionate. May all beings be free. May all beings be happy. Thank you. And also, given